Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
DirecTV gives you access to apps like Netflix and live sports right next to each other.
I don't get it.
Let me put it in pigeon terms. It's like that one amazing dumpster with the old fruits and cardboard all in one place.
How am I supposed to keep up with illustrative metaphors when you are making me so hungry?
Get live TV and streaming apps together without a satellite. Visit DirecTV.com. Requires high-speed internet-connected Gemini device and separate paid subscription to watch Netflix on DirecTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
It's not about me. I'm only here for a minute. And I know that I can't fix it. I can help even just a little bit. Won't you let me try?
Hello, welcome to our Laz and Powers. This is Scott Powers of The Athletic with Mark Lazarus of The Athletic, and we are in the Studio B Lazarus Mobile.
Yes, we are in my wife's car because gas prices are too high, and she has the hybrid, and she works from home. That was a great purchase, by the way. Buy a hybrid literally 3 months before the world stops, and your wife becomes a permanent work-from-home employee. It's a really good purchase. So, yeah, so for the meantime, I'm driving into the city, into the O'Hare using her.
It's probably worth a lot right now because everyone's...
It is. I'm like, just the difference. I mean, this thing gets like 48 to 50 miles per gallon as opposed to my my SUV, which gets like 25. So.
Yeah. Well, I think just the whole car market right now, like everyone just... Like, there's not a whole lot of supplies. So.
That's true, too, yeah.
You're going to make some money. Flip it, yeah.
Find the dark web and sell my Kia.
We're recording this on Thursday afternoon, and we feel like
happy St. Patrick's Day, Scott.
Thank you
to you
and to everyone out there. Mark won't kill you for wearing a Blackhawks green jersey today.
I will. I will still smack you around if I was. Where was I the other day? I went to see Hadestown. I took my daughter to Hadestown for her birthday because she's really into Greek gods.
Yeah.
And you know, you're supposed to. I know we're a casual society, but you're supposed to get a little bit dressed up to go to the shows, there's right? There was someone in a green Patrick Kane jersey sitting like four seats away from me in the theater.
It's formal wear now too.
This is just killing me, man. Although it's funny, you know, we went there and then we went out to dinner, but you know, I that's the first time I've ever seen the Green River, like actually like full blown green, because they just dyed it the other day. It is really freaking green when they do that.
Yeah, it'll be like that for months now.
It's yeah, that's the problem, is it looks great for those first couple days, then it gets like that murky green where it just looks like there's something wrong.
Yeah.
Like the Dave Matthews Band just drove over a bridge or something and dropped off some supplies.
So at any point, I'm sure a trade will happen in this whole.
Yeah, we're going to be checking Twitter the whole time, checking our text the whole time.
It'll be meaningless what we talk about. but yeah, I think that's, I mean, that's the discussion. Alex Vlasic was up here today, and he just spoke for the first time, and the Blackhawks signed him. And not really surprised, a junior, you know, like he probably could have came out last year. It sounds, yeah, I don't know, the Blackhawks like where his development's gone. He's obviously a big body, and he was sort of a shift when they started stopped drafting smaller defensemen and started going bigger again. And then since then, they've drafted a lot of larger defensemen.
Yeah, we were talking about this with Colby Cohen while we were waiting to talk about, you know, obviously Colby's a college hockey guy and he's big. It's so hard to know what to expect from a guy coming out of college, because sometimes they come in and, you know, not everybody's going to be Cale Makar, but sometimes someone comes in and they're just great right away. And sometimes they come in and they play three games like Michael Paliota and you never hear from them again. And it's hard to know because you got Hobie Baker Award winners like Drew LeBlanc, who have no business being in the NHL, but they were the best player in college. It's so hard to extrapolate what a college player is going to do in the NHL. Like, Vlasic could come in and play on Saturday. I mean, I know Derek King was unsure if he was going to play him that quickly, but he could come in and play and be really good right away, and I don't think I would be shocked. He could come in and just be, you know, terrible, and I don't think I would be shocked. He's probably going to be just fine.
I think there's a couple. I think there's a couple. Some of it's just like guys like Drew LeBlanc are older. I think Vlasic, he played in the national program. He is a high draft pick. Like, he was going to play for the World Junior team if he, I think he'd gotten sick, and so there's a lot of things that point to him being a positive player. Like, it's he's a shutdown defenseman also. So, like, when you look at different, like, Byron Bader and some of these guys, where they project prospects, it's the shutdown defensemen are difficult. Like, he's, like, even Vlasic said that he's never going to be a guy that produces points. So, like, the value of those guys, it's a little bit harder because it's harder to earn ice time. It's harder to kind of prove your worth. Like, it's harder to evaluate those guys. It's his size, and if he can, you know, like, he's obviously got long reach, and you know, he's tried to be more physical, but it's, yeah, those are all, like, the factors. I think there's enough to say that he has a chance. Like, he played at a really good program. He's young enough where, you know, like, he's not 23, 24. Right, like, right. It's, you know, like, there is,
it's not now or never. Like,
for sure,
like,
yeah.
Mitchell, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Well, not even, I mean, Mitchell's not even.
Well, not even, but
I mean, like, I guess the older guys, like the Drew LeBlancs.
When you come out at 24 and you're like, oh my God, this guy's got a long way to go.
Yeah.
It's a lot different than when a 20, 21-year-old comes in and you go, okay, this guy's got a long way to go.
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, no, I think Vlasic's interesting. I think, you know, when you look at who they're going to, you know, if they trade to Han and who they bring back next season, I think there are going to be a couple of young guys that you know, like, obviously McCabe and Murphy and Jones, and we'll see what happens with Caleb Jones. Like, it's another, you know, they have a lot of young guys in the mix, a lot of young guys in Rockford. You know, as of late, obviously, we've seen more of Galvis and or even Regula. So, like, there's a lot of guys in the mix, and I think, I mean, this is the way you do. You stockpile defensemen, and then you see who rises to the top, and you take your time, right? Like, you don't want to rush it. Like, a guy like Beaudin, I mean, I think even King said the other day, just they've gotten, some of those guys have just been left over at this point.
Yeah, they're,
you know?
Not. They're just not playing very well.
Yeah.
To get the call. I mean, you know, we asked King that. You know, why are these guys getting the chance and not Mitchell and Beaudin? He basically said, you know, Mitchie's playing okay, but
yeah,
you know, frankly, these guys are playing better.
Yeah,
and that's why you draft. I mean, this is the, you know, for 4 or 5 years there, they were drafting nothing but defensemen for so long in those first couple of rounds. This is how long it takes. So if they start right now drafting forwards to make up for their lack of forwards, it could take 2, 3, 4 years before we start actually seeing these guys.
And the problem is that, I guess, the Beaudins and the Mitchells and even Bulk was just, they were anointed where they, you know, like, you never really got to see whether they deserved it or not. And
right.
I think we're going to see that a little bit more patient with Davidson and this group. And, I you know, the column that I wrote today was about the rebuild, and we'll see what's going to happen here. But from everything I've heard, that the Blackhawks want to be aggressive, and they want to trade Strome, they want to trade anything they can in, you know, before Monday, and really go off on this rebuild and try to, you know, get assets and draft picks. And I don't you know, like, we'll see what the market's like, and Davidson can only do so much. But I, from everything I heard, that, you know, regardless of how the team's looked as of late, that's still, like, the complete plan.
Well, and obviously a rebuild is the plan. Where I have concerns here, and where I disagree with a little bit of what you were saying, where you're talking about, you know, you should try to move Patrick. You basically said you should try to move Patrick Kane if you can.
I didn't say that.
You kind of said, like, you got to entertain the idea at least, right?
Well, I think Kane and Taves need to come to the realization, like, what they need to decide. No, I think that's the key. And then I think if they want to be moved, that a year from now, like, unless it's this offseason, but I think it may, like, they may come back and ultimately, like, if Doc and Reichel and these guys all take steps, like, you have a lot of the same team coming back next year. Like, if McCabe's a player, you think, and Doc takes that next step and Reichel becomes a player, like, they can mess up probably what Davidson's assumption is, what this team's going to be. Like, they can, you know, kind of, yeah, take it off the tracks a little bit. But I think I think realistically the Blackhawks are bad for a couple of years. So I think it's up to Kane and Taves if they want to be a part of that. And then it's, you know, a year from now, I think Kane and Taves could realistically be on the trade deadline. And I think if – and my bigger point about Strome in my column today was that it's not so much about Strome's ability. It's that – it's where is he at? Where is his contract? Because I think if McCabe or Murphy or anyone else's contract was coming up, I think the Blackhawks would try to trade everyone they could at this point. Like, it's,
that's the problem for the Blackhawks for me. Dylan Strome isn't the issue, and Patrick Kane. I mean, look, There's one area I agree with Stan Bowman on is that you need stars. You never see a Stanley Cup winning team that doesn't have all-world players. And Patrick Kane is still an all-world player.
Sure.
And he will still be an all-world player 3 or 4 years from now. The way he plays, never gets hit. His game is not, he's not really built on speed or anything. It's just pure skill and vision. He is going to be elite for years to come. He can still be a big part of that next contending team. I truly believe that. And trading, you know, I don't, my concern here is if you move Strome, how you're driving Kane out the window. You're basically saying, look, we don't care. These are the guys that you want to play with. We don't care. We're getting rid of them. And
they've gotten rid of
daring.
Much better players.
Well, I understand that, but how many times until now he's close to the end here where he can feasibly be traded? You are pushing him out the door. And part of it's important to me if I'm the Blackhawks to keep Patrick Kane happy. Sells tickets. That shit matters. And he's the only one left that really does. Alex DeBrincat's a great player. He is not a marquee attraction the way Patrick Kane is. He is Showtime. And that's important, keeping him happy. And Strome, even if it's just for a couple of years, you sign him to another bridge deal, and he gets you to that point where Reichel and Doc are ready to take over, that's fine. The problem the Blackhawks have is Jake McCabe, is Tyler Johnson, is maybe even Connor Murphy, who I've been a big supporter of for years, took a big step back this year. He's not had a very good year, and he signed for 4 more years. These guys are locked. These are 28, 29, 30-year-old guys with lots of term left on their contract. They're the ones getting in the way of the rebuild. It's not Patrick Kane, and it's not Dylan Strome.
And I don't even know if it's Dylan Strome's. It's that he may block the path for Doc and Reichel, too. Like, I think that's part of it, too. If Taves is here, Doc's here, Reichel's here. I don't think Doc on the wing is more of a long-term. Like, I think this is what they're doing. They're trying to get Doc going.
And Reichel was drafted as a wing.
I know, but I think that if you're playing him at center in Rockford as much as you are, I think Reichel's a better pro than Strome. I think he may fit what Kane needs.
But he's also 19 years old. And how many times has Derek King talked this year about how some of these guys were rushed?
I think they're bringing smart right now. Like, Reichel could be in the NHL.
But you're going to throw him into a top six center role, a top two center role next year immediately? I don't think he's necessarily ready for that.
It's not much different. It's not much different than what Strome was at that point, too.
I mean, and it didn't work.
Look
how long it took for Strome to get to where he was. He was 21, 22 by the time he had that big year with the Blackhawks. He was foundering in Arizona in that role at that young.
I look at someone like Zegras or someone. I think Reichel, what he's doing in Rockford, I mean, I turned on the game this weekend, and just what he's doing is special. And it's going to take some time, but if you're in a rebuild mode, bringing him up, and maybe he still goes down again next year, but I don't think you want to block the path, because I think Reichel, with the way that he moves and sees the game, might be a better fit for Kane, and especially as he gets older too. Like, you're just Strome's downfall is that he's a bit stationary, and you, like, against the lead teams, it becomes very noticeable. Like, that line just got caved in whenever they went against Bergeron's line, and they can't play against elite teams. And I think Boston was a good example of that, how far the Blackhawks are still. And I think that's ultimately what, you know, like, I think Strome is a very good offensive player, and that line can dominate against certain teams.
Look how much better Patrick Kane is with Dylan Strome as a center than anyone else he's played with this year. Look at the point. He's got 33 points in the last, like, 18 games. That's all with Strome. Strome makes Patrick Kane
a lot better. Of those that came on the 5-on-5, too, or on the power play, too. So, like, it's
Dylan Strome's on that power play, too, though.
Yeah. So Kane's also played better, too. I don't want to take anything away from Strome, but I don't know.
I'm just saying, you're just assuming that Doc and Reichel are going to come in and just be the top two centers. They're not good enough right now. Reichel might eventually. Well, Doc might eventually.
This isn't against Strome, but it's who the Blackhawks need to put their eggs. You know, like, they need Doc and.
Well, you're playing the long game here, right? I mean, we're talking about 3 or 4 years from now. Why not have Strome as your 1C with Kane? Reichel's your number two. You know, Taves and Doc are in that 3C role, and maybe Doc is on the wing for a little while. I mean, Doc's not there yet. He's not there yet. He is not a good enough offensive player to be a top six center right now. He does not produce enough.
Yeah. The problem is that I'm not sure Strom's good defensively enough to be a 1C. Like,
well, that's the problem. If you could somehow merge Dylan Strome and Kirby Doc into, like, Strock, you'd have a really good 1C.
Well, here's I guess it depends on what the goal is. If it's to appease Kane, is it to sell tickets?
It's all part of the goals. I mean, it's not just one. I mean, yeah, the goal is win a Stanley Cup at some point.
What the Blackhawks honestly need to be is one of the worst teams in the NHL probably next season and then get like a top three pick. Like that's like they need to, they need assets. They need to stockpile that. Not having the first round pick this year, like if the, it'd be so much, the whole conversation would be so yeah. different if they had the first round pick this year. You have another top 10 pick. You'd have, you know, like two picks in the top 40, both get forwards, and all of a sudden you get this thing rolling. Yeah. And so I think it's so far, like, I think there's a need for assets because they know they're so far behind. And so, yeah, I get why all the reasons for Strome.
You've brought this up a few times where you talk about how the 2010 team was built.
Yeah.
And that was a total rebuild where they started from nothing
and they took a long time to
they messed up
a lot of picks
like the Jalmerson Seabrook or not Jalmerson Seabrook and Keith, these are like 2002-2003. There's no 8-year plan here. That's not an acceptable path right now. And they got so lucky because they got two generational players basically in consecutive drafts. The chances of getting another Kane and Taves in back-to-back years is virtually nil. And you see the teams that are winning aren't teams that were terrible for extended periods of time. They are the teams that retool on the fly, that hit on a couple of draft picks like an Alex DeBrincat, and then they build around it. And yes, the Blackhawks need to rebuild their prospect base, but getting a bunch of second and third round picks for good players isn't the way to do it. Like, you are not going, whatever you get for Dylan Strome, let's say you get a second round pick. That's what the Blackhawks are hoping for, is a second round pick. That second round pick has like a 99% chance of not being as good as Dylan Strome. Not being as productive an NHL player as Dylan Strome. I don't see how that makes you better. Second-round picks don't make you better. First-round picks, high-end first-round picks make you better. Second-round picks, you have to get so unbelievably lucky on.
I just don't think Dylan Strome...
Alex Vlasic was a second-round pick. He's not going to be a centerpiece of this team.
I think if you re-sign Dylan Strome, I don't think it makes you a better team any sooner. Like
nothing
I,
makes this... That's what I'm saying. Like
I don't...
Like if the option is...
But I think he may block the path to someone, and I think that's where, yeah, it's more about where his contract is and where his age is and what he costs.
Salary
you.
Cap's not going to be an issue for this team the next couple of years.
You got to worry. I guess it depends on Cannon Taves.
Like, everything does.
Right? Yeah, that's the thing. Like if you need to pay Cannon Taves, you need to pay DeBrincat. You're gonna, you know, like there's contracts.
Cannon Taves have like the entire franchise's future in their hands.
For sure. Yeah. Like this would all be. Yeah, like you'd be in a full rebuild. Like you'd be like trade everyone off if it Cannon Taves.
But you look at Detroit. Detroit did that, right? They did the full teardown rebuild, and they got some great young players in Mo Sider and Lucas Raymond, and they're still going nowhere. They're still bad. They're not going to be great anytime soon, and they've been doing this for years.
Yeah, Detroit's better this year. Like they're in a. I think a year from now, like they're a different team too. Like,
are they going to be a 7 seed? Maybe, sure, yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't, I don't know. Like,
that's not a team that's built for long-term sustained championship success.
I think they will be though.
It's really hard to do.
I know. I think it's the realistic process of like it takes that long. Like
you need a Kane and Taves. You need a Stamkos, Kucherov. You need these high-end all-world guys, and then you need a Braden Point on top of it. You have so many good players.
And the way a lot of the teams, the Blackhawks and Tampa, and all these teams have done it is they've drafted a lot and had depth. And right now that's where the Blackhawks' deficit is. They have no raw, like, organizational depth.
But look
like,
at the teams.
There's not a Saad that backs up when you trade a Brower. Right. There's not, like...
It takes an unbelievable, you know, run of success of drafting to do that. Because you look at Buffalo. They've been rebuilding for 147 years, and they're worse than ever. You look at Edmonton. They had how many number one overall draft picks? They have the two best players in the world, and they're going nowhere. They're a middling team with nothing. It takes so much fortune... And yes, scouting is part of it, but it's so much, it's such a crapshoot in the NHL draft that getting second and third round picks just does very little for me. If you have a player who is youngish and goodish, you keep him. The problem is Jake McCabe. The problem is Tyler Johnson. Why are these guys on this rostering? Is there anything you can do to get rid of them? Can you buy them out? Can you somehow trade them while eating salary? They're the ones that are in the way.
Yeah.
You got all these young defensemen that we keep talking about. Galvis and Mitchell and Phillips. And Regula and Vlasic, these guys should be playing, not Jake McCabe. Jake McCabe's a nice player. I liked him. I thought it was a great signing at the time when you were trying to win now. He has had a rough year. He's 29 years old, and he's got three years of term left. He is in the way. That's the guy you can't rebuild with. The whole defense is where you have all these young guys coming, and there's nowhere to put them because everybody is old and has term.
Yeah.
That's the problem. The problem isn't Dylan Strome being in the top six. The problem is the defense right now. You just have... veteran guys. When you have all your exciting talent or hopeful talent is back there, and they're the ones that are all blocked.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
I think you need to stockpile picks. Like, you need to, like, you need to have many picks so that you can build up the depth.
Sure, the more picks you have, the better chance you do have of getting
right. And that's how I just look at the blueprint of how the Blackhawks.
I think most people would agree with you here. I think you're in the mainstream here with the this is going nowhere. It's been five miserable years.
Yeah.
Get rid of everything and start from scratch. I've seen so many teams try to start from scratch and just continue to suck forever. You need stars. You need Patrick Kane. Yeah. Patrick Kane will still be very, very good in 3 years. You need him, and you need him productive. You need him happy. You need him wanting to be a part of this. And if you do to Dylan Strome what you did to Nick Schmaltz and what you did to Artemi Panarin, eventually you're going to drive him away.
Here's the question. What makes Patrick Kane happy? Because I think with Dylan Strome, they're not necessarily a better team. Like, they're not going to win next season regardless.
No matter what happens.
Well, I think at the end of the day, Kane's going to decide whether he wants to win or not. Because he can play here, and you can play with Strome, and I think he likes playing with Strome, but if he has a chance to walk away and go play with Barzell or someone, and go and win, like, I think that's what makes him happy.
See,
like,
I think that Patrick Kane wants to have a reason to stay.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to leave, but he doesn't want to be just jerked around either, right? I think the ideal situation here is you can somehow sign Strome, who does not want to do this. He finally wants some stability in his career. If you can sign him to a one-year deal, just sign him to his qualifying offer, basically. If you would accept $3.6 million, which is a lot of money, for 1 year, then he's not in anybody's way. Because you can ease Reichel in that way. You can ease Doc up the lineup that way. You can still have Taves there. And then the following year, you might not have Taves. And then maybe there's spots for other centers. Then you start thinking about it. The ideal situation is you can bring Strome back for a year. You have, you know, a productive guy there who can just play the role, keep Kane happy, and then you can evaluate, all right, was this a two-month fluke in January and February and March of 2021 or 2022, what the hell year it is? Or is he the guy that's just going to be frustrating forever? You don't want to. I'm not saying you should sit here and sign Dylan Strome to a four-year contract. That's ridiculous. A one-year deal would be great. A two-year deal would be doable. And that way, he's not really blocking the way. He's a bridge to Lucas Reichel, who is 19 years old.
Yeah. With Reichel, I haven't seen many players come through other than Tara Vinen and a few of these guys who are at this level. Like, there's just...
That's because there's been nobody good in Rockford for years.
For sure. And part of this is what Dylan Strome wants, you know? Like, at the end of the day, like, he may want stability, and he may...
Yeah, if someone offers him real money for real term, go get it, young man.
Yeah, and so it's also interesting that Dylan Strome's been on the market for this long, and no one's... I don't think the price has been a second-round pick for this whole time, you know? Yeah, like,
right, that's a recent thing.
I think... So I don't know. I don't know how he's seen around the league or.
I don't mean to harp on the Strome thing. It's just it's emblematic of the whole situation here, right? Is that's what we're focusing on? We're focusing on finding room for Lucas Reichel when the problem is on the defense. The problem is you have a win now defense for the next 3 years. Well, I can't win now.
On the other hand, is the offense is. Up until the last 3 weeks,
it was terrible too.
Like the worst.
No, it's bad all around. Don't get me wrong. It's bad all around.
I don't know if the offense is like.
But the offense is fixable. The defense right now, you're stuck.
I'm not sure the offense is fixable because their biggest deficit is having. You have to fix the offense outside if you're trying to win sooner than later. Like, there's not any answer other than Reichel within the organization.
That's
and
true.
If Kubalik walks away, if you trade, or Kubalik walks away, and part of it's like, if you trade Strom, then you certainly have less offensive pieces too, and there's nothing coming up in Rockford or anything, you know? Like, there's Colton Dock, who, you know, who's signed and has had a decent year, but I don't think guys that are immediately impacting this, like Reichel, potentially could. And so I think that's, it's just that you don't have, like, you need to address it by either getting European free agents, or you need to go out and sign some players. And it's also, it's all about the definition of what a rebuild is and how Kyle Davidson envisions that. And I guess we'll, you know, like, I guess Monday we might have a better idea if someone says, yeah, we'll give you this for Strom or Dahan or whomever. Like, we'll have a better idea what a rebuild looks like. And because even, I think that was Jonathan Toews' biggest thing was when he was asked, well, are you on board with the rebuild? And he goes, well,
I don't know what that means.
Yes, I think that's what, like, and I think maybe it's part of, like, Stan Bowman definition of rebuild became so confusing that no one understands what exactly that looks like. And that's part of it too. It's like, it's how much do you, like, that was Stan Bowman's dilemma too, is that you, like, you Kyle Davidson says rebuild, and through next 2 weeks, like, they're playing well, they're scoring goals, and then right. it's like well,
maybe, I don't think anyone's being fooled by this that all of a sudden this is like a
no but
team.
But Dylan Strome looks like a different player again. Like, it's yeah. like there's definitely, like, if we had talked about, in because even when Derek King took over, it's like, we're gonna give this kid a chance. And then it's like, well, we're going to make him a healthy scratch because, you know, like, Derek King got upset with him. Cause, so I think at that point you said, all right, yeah, if you traded Dylan Strome, I think a lot more people have been on board with it.
Yeah.
You know, over the last month, people are like, well, maybe it makes sense to keep him. And I get that. Like, you, like, ultimately producing points in NHL, it's difficult. And he does that.
The problem I have is with this, there's just like this general knee-jerk reaction, burn it all down, right? Start from scratch. And that doesn't work for me because I think it was Dom and I think it might have been Shayna on The Athletic today had a story about, like, how are previous champions built. And they all have the same thing. A true number one center, a true number one scorer type, a true number one defenseman, and a high-end goalie. What do the Blackhawks have right now? They got a number one defenseman. Seth Jones is a number one defenseman. I can buy that. And they've got Patrick Kane. That's what they've got.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got two of the pieces that are the hardest pieces to get. So I don't think, even if you're rebuilding, you have to rebuild around something, right? So you have to keep those pieces in place. So this idea of just burning it down and starting from scratch, that doesn't work.
Even when I talk about a full, like, the Blackhawks didn't have a full rebuild, like, even when they went through it.
They just didn't spend money for years.
Yeah, I mean, they were bad, but you had pieces like Sharp and Keith who were here for a long time. Mm-hmm. Like, you have valuable pieces that, like, they had good players. They're good players on bad teams, and that's what someone said to me. It's like, you have good players on bad teams, and then you build around them, and that, you know, Keith obviously became a huge piece, and Sharp was, you know, definitely a main piece too, but, like, you needed more than that. So, like, I think you start with Jones and Kane. It's like, how do you get the rest in it? And it's also the timetable, because it's, yeah, there's a shelf life to Kane, you know, and Jones, you know, like, he enters his 30s, and you hope he doesn't fall off, you know?
You know, like, we did that Who Says Now, and someone floated
why
the idea.
Says no?
Why say not? We had the one proposal from the Leafs fan, and it's funny because I was talking to James Myrtle last night, and he was doing a Who Says No, and a Leafs fan pitched almost the same deal with almost the same people, but it was a different person, for Patrick Kane. And the deal that was proposed to us was a first-round pick, a third-round pick, and the top three prospects in the Toronto system, all of whom appear to be high-end talent. Yeah, I could get behind a trade like that. Toronto's not going to fucking make that trade.
Yeah.
So it's so difficult to get full value for Patrick Kane, right?
Well, you told me I didn't look in the comments a whole lot, but I guess I was getting killed for saying no.
You were getting killed for the one that was Alexis Lafreniere.
And first round.
Yeah, for the record, Scott answered that one.
But I looked at projections.
To be fair, it was Rangers fans that were mad at me, and Alexis Lafreniere has done very little in the NHL to make you think he's going to be a
That wouldn't be a high draft pick. So yeah, I don't know. Like, that's a challenge too. It's like, what's
how
the value
do you get
Kane?
Full value for Patrick Kane? But that proposed ridiculous Leafs offer, that's the one you jump at. But nobody's going to offer you three high-end prospects and a first-round pick for a 34-year-old Patrick Kane. That's the problem.
Yeah,
it's impossible to get full value for Patrick Kane. So you're going to get significantly worse, and you're going to get maybe like a number 27 pick, and you're never going to get the next Patrick Kane out of that. I would rather have seven more years of Patrick Kane. I do think he's going to play at least 40. I would rather have seven more years of Patrick Kane than the number 27 pick and some in two decent prospects. Patrick Kane is worth more than that. He's worth more than that on the ice. He's worth more than that at the box office. He's worth more than that in terms of merchandise and TV ratings.
Well, this is why Kyle Davidson should sit down with Patrick Kane. And this is
absolutely.
And
Like, he's got
to. But I think to explain,
he should be trying to get Patrick Kane on board with this.
Right,
that should be
explaining
his goal.
Why
it shouldn't be asking him if he wants to be a part of this. It should be convincing him to be a part of this,
or explaining why this is why we're doing what we're doing. Like, this is why we're going to keep portraying Dylan Strowman. This is how we envision this playing out. This is where the timeline could be. This is how you play into
and this
that.
Is what Kane wants, right? He wants to be at least included in the conversation.
Yeah, and I think from that point, I think you, because Kane's pretty reasonable about this stuff. Like, I think if Stan Bowman had sat down with him and be like, we're trading Panarin and this is why, like, I think Kane would be like, yeah, that sucks, but I get it. Like this is
to
why.
To this day, the Panarin trade still made perfect sense. I mean, you didn't have to do it, but the reasoning behind it was wrong in retrospect, but sound at the time. Like, it was a reasonable thing to do at the time that looked worse in retrospect. He was not going to be on the Blackhawks 2 years later.
Yeah, but the problem is you negotiate like a really good contract.
Yep.
It was 2 years. Like, I would have waited a year and then you decide. Like, it was so reactionary. It was so,
yeah, the Nashville series. Yeah.
It was. I don't know. You finally got someone on a really good bridge deal. Mm-hmm. Like, you had so many contract issues and you got one of the league's best players at $6 million for 2 years. And if he had walked. I think you could have moved them at a deadline or done something.
Yes.
I think it was Panarin wouldn't be on the team right now, but I don't think he had to be traded that soon.
No, that's fair.
But yeah, I think sitting down with Kane, it probably alleviates some of the fact that we make all these large discussions and we don't have all the information, you know, like that's a challenge.
Talking out our ass is our job, Scott.
Like I'm curious how this plays out. Like, I think Stan Bowman set this up too, where it makes Kyle Davidson's job tougher because you know, you've already come out and said that I'm not gonna waver on, you know, this being a rebuild. So, what does that mean?
That's exactly. Jonathan Toews has a point when he says, I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
Because we don't know what that means.
Yeah.
You know, the difference between a quote unquote retool, that's what we keep hearing. It needs to be a retool, not a rebuild. What does that mean? Well, like what's really the difference?
I think come Monday, if Fleury, Strom, Kubalik, Dahan, and Carpenter are on here, like, we have a better idea what the rebuild looks like. You
absolutely.
Know? And it's hard to trade all those players, but if all those players are gone,
Fleury's the big one, right? Because Fleury has no future here.
Right. But
so
I'm just saying, like,
nothing or a first round.
I think Strom's the one where we figure out where.
Yeah.
And if this is another team having to say yes, we want Strom. But if someone wants Strom and Davidson accepts it, then I think, like, we have another spirited discussion about it.
Yeah. Well, again, all of this whole discussion is, it's almost all moot until we know what Kane and Toews want to do, because it all comes down to them.
Yeah. I think Kane and Toews will have a better indication of where the
that's true
franchise is headed after Monday, potentially. You know, like, I think that's where Davidson does sit down with him. Like, this is. We're trying to trade Strom, or we're not trying to trade Strom, and this is why. And yeah, I think just having them into the picture, because they are, like, as much as you walk around the United Center, like, it's still Kane and Toews and Hose's jerseys. Like, there's
that stuff matters.
I saw a Hagel jersey the other day. Hagel and DeBrincat sitting, like, people standing next.
This
to
This is top. What I really don't understand is you have people, like, and again, this just comes from the Who Says No piece in the comments and Twitter and all that. So
whenever you say that name, like, I can never think of, like, the Why Says No.
It just keeps coming back to me, like, oh, trade DeBrincat, trade Hagel. Like, they want to trade everybody. They want a full teardown. And you're not going to trade DeBrincat and get another DeBrincat out of that deal. You're not going to trade Hagel and get someone with his value out of that deal. Trading everyone isn't the answer.
No.
You have to delineate which guys are the right ones for the future.
Well, who's going to be here on the other end?
Who's going to be here 3 years from now?
Yeah.
And there's no reason DeBrincat and Hagel can't be a big part of that.
For sure. Trading Hagel now, and then I wrote it in the column too, it's lunacy. Like, unless you're getting like four first rounders, like, and I know it's like a stupid price, but what he's valued at and what he gives a team for two more seasons after this, like,
he'll still have that value 2 years from now.
For sure.
If he's going to be a free agent and you know you can't afford him or don't want him or whatever. Like, it's absolutely silly to talk about trading guys that are 25 and younger that are good.
Yeah. And they're under contract.
Rebuild is about getting the team younger and better, right? Trading good young players does not make you younger and better.
Yeah, no, you want to stockpile enough draft picks, and eventually you need it's a lot of this would be changing if you had a top 10 pick. Like, the point of being bad is that you get rewarded, and the Blackhawks aren't going to get rewarded.
Nope, not at
and,
all.
And they lose Boqvist and Sillinger, and as good as Seth Jones is, he's worth some of that. He's not worth all of that, and that's always going to be unfair to Seth Jones. But
yeah, it's not Seth Jones' fault that Stan Bowman overpaid for him.
Yeah, for sure, and that's it's. Columbus will certainly probably
they're happy about
probably
it.
Be good in a couple of years because of it. So as long as they can
until those guys
people.
Until those guys want to leave for other cities. Yeah.
I think Hedger drives a lot of them away personally.
All right. Well, we should probably post this podcast before everything changes.
They turn
this afternoon. So until next time, I'm Mark Lazarus and that's Scott Bowers.
Bye.
And I know that I can fix it. I can help even just a little bit. Won't you let me try?
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.